Thank you once again for your Holy Spirit. He's here with us. Thank you for your holy written word. We wait upon thee. Speak to us, Father. We hear your voice. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles if you have your Bibles with you to 2 Peter. I have a little message to be shared. Whatever that little is, we will see. And I have not spoken about this in any other churches, even let alone my church, our church over there in Sri Lanka. So I believe, and the Holy Spirit will speak to your spirit. Have you taken 2 Peter? Are you there? 2 Peter, first chapter. Oh, it's wonderful to receive from the word of God, isn't it? Amen. 2 Peter, first chapter, verse 10. Excuse me, 2 Peter, first chapter, yeah, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. I want to read that again. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Election has to do with the position in the kingdom of God. Our position in Christ as a born-again child. But the call has to do with the ministry the Lord has given you. For every child of God. Know for sure, you know for certain that you are born again. God has called you for a ministry, for a work, which he had ordained, prepared beforehand, even before the foundations of the world. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says so, that we should walk in these good works. So any child of God should be thrilled about finding out the call and then fulfilling the call. Many live and die good born again Christians without knowing their call, and there are others who knew their call and did not make any effort, any preparation to fulfill that call. And as I read to you, guided by the Holy Spirit this morning, about the prophecy that was given in 1979 in the United States, how the Spirit of God spoke to the children of God to attack that one enemy that works for Satan, is the spirit of witchcraft that binds millions of people, millions of God's people. It's one way or other, they're bound and they are kept away from joining the army of the Lord. You are a soldier of Jesus Christ and you have joined the army of the Lord. And you don't find any army lazy, grumbling, not ready at all, sleeping, sick. No. Thank you. And I want to say, in the presence of the Lord, brothers and sisters, this one enemy that stops and hinders and blinds people of coming to know their call, the call of God in their lives, or even after knowing the call of God, receiving it from the Lord, confirmed by prophecies through other servants of God, this one enemy still keeps fighting, keeping these people busy, or it distracts them, makes them blind and ignorant, complacent about the call of God that's in their lives and never permits them to take that position and fulfill that call. This enemy is this enemy called witchcraft. The spirit of witchcraft is after men and women who are called of God, who know they are called, and especially those who take leadership positions in the church, pastor or deacon or deaconess, or maybe an elder or somewhere, worship leader, whatever, Sunday school teacher, in any position. This spirit of witchcraft, the enemy of God and his children, works day and night to keep them, these leaders who are called of God, to keep them away from their call. It blinds them to the call of God. It distracts them and does many other things. And if possible, make them to die before their time. They're astounding. You know, you just simply cannot say, well, it's Satan. No. There are so many departments in his kingdom. And some of it are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, starting from verse 10 onwards. The principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness, and so on. And naming this enemy, which keeps people away from the call of God, which keeps pastors in blindness, and others who are in leadership positions, is the spirit of witchcraft. We need to deal with, and we need not fear, for the Lord is with us. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And the blood of Jesus Christ is ours. That was shed for us, not for the angels. So brothers and sisters, I just want to show you certain things which the Lord showed me. He led me into this, and one or two other examples which I received this afternoon, just after lunch. Thank you, sister. It's very kind of you. Thanks. Some of you people asked me, Pastor, did you record that prayer that we led the people to pray this morning? I said, thank God, yes. Most of the time, these things, evil spirits will try to meddle there, make the, you know, the songs I wanted to tape and give some to people, not done properly, you can't listen to the words. Anyway, we will not lose heart. We will go forward. That doesn't matter. Moses breaking the tablets once. God says, build it again. Make one again. Hallelujah. Don't give up hope, Moses. Right. Now, as I have told you and identified this enemy, as witchcraft, which will hinder your call, note these things because the Spirit of God is going to speak to you. Number one, 1 Kings chapter 19 verses 1 to 4. You heard about the prophet Elijah. He, with the help of the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, slew all the prophets of Baal working for Jezebel. The spirit that was in Jezebel is a spirit of witchcraft. There is no mention of here in the scriptures, at least to my knowledge, a spirit called the spirit of Jezebel. The spirit of Jezebel is the spirit of witchcraft, occult spirit, which blinds people, which keeps people from worshiping the true God. And after Elijah slain all the prophets of Baal who were working with Jezebel, eating at her table. Oh, she had her boys, you know. They ate at her table. They had their puddings and their desserts with her. And she ruled the kingdom. Ahab, her husband, was a puppet. He was just like a child, you know. Whenever things did not go right, and he will weep. And the wife comes. Why are you sad? And you know the story. How she usurped the authority of the king. That exactly the spirit of witchcraft does. Husbands, listen. And wives, listen too. Because the spirit of witchcraft catches both parties. Now, chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah has done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, So let the gods do to me. She was worshipping demons, which she did not know. Let the gods do to me, and more so if I do not make your life as the life of the one of them by tomorrow at this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey. Brother, this man ran for a whole day. We can run now. You ask us to. We start at Lawrence. Before, halfway through Eglinton here. Stop! One single day he ran. Now, I don't want to go into details about the distances and all that, because it's too much. Yes. And you ran, and you ran, and you ran. And he journeyed into the wilderness and came and sat down under the broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's. The spirit of witchcraft, the demonic spirit that was released through the words of Jezebel. Words carry spirits. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Words carry spirits. Words of life carry words of life, spirits. Words of death carry satanic spirits. And these spirits chased Elijah and frightened him, depressed him, and even compared himself with his fathers. I'm no better. Let me die. Elijah was called. He should have finished off Jezebel. When he finished off the 800, those, you know, the boys that were with Jezebel, don't know why he let go Jezebel. He should have tackled the strong man, not just the servants of Jezebel. The spirit of witchcraft took Elijah away from the place of his call. How many people attacked in one way or other for a slightest thing? They jump from church to church. They run away. For many, many reasons they can say, well, I am no better. You know, why should I spoil the church? Every problem is because of me. So I thought better for me to leave. This is that spirit. Elijah went away from his place of call. So he ran, and the Lord watched him. Come to verse 9. And there he went into a cave and spent that night in that place. And until this time, God never said anything. God never spoke to him while he was on his marathon run. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, now he heard the voice of God. What are you doing here, Elijah? He never asked, why are you in fear? What happened? No. What are you doing here? You shouldn't be here. You remember God asked Adam, where are you? I left you in the position as a king. And now you are hiding? What happened? So the same question is thrown here to Elijah, and Elijah started to camouflage. And he said, oh Lord, you know, I've been very zealous for the Lord of hosts of the children of Israel. I've forsaken your covenant and torn down your altars and killed all the prophets. And I'm alone left. And they said, take my life. They want to take my life. And you know, he was telling his pity party, and the Lord was not interested to listen to any of those pity party. Is that right? Oh dear, so you are sad about that. No. Jump to verse 13. And the Lord comes back. He never answers back to all what he said. And the Lord comes back. Now watch. You want to know something about the Lord? Verse 13. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped up his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I thought he asked the first time. Is he coming back with the same question? Sometimes we try to cover up and camouflage. The Lord will point at the same place. Now, what about that business? Now, you let us speak. What are you doing here? Witchcraft took away this mighty servant of God from the place of his ministry. It blinded him, attacked with fear, confused him, depressed him, and he was in a different place. That's one. Second example, Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Here you find verse 1. Now Korah the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and on the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. Watch that word, men of renown. That means very prominent men. Those who were in leadership, and those 250 were caught up by rebellion. It started with one man, Korah, just like the rebellion started with Satan. And nearly one third of the hosts of the angels of God fell with him. And Korah rebelled against the leader, Moses. God kept him as his man. I know most of the people don't like to hear from these things, but not you. I know that you have come to hear the word of God. Amen. Thus, now, Korah rose up against Moses with his 250 chaps, and then they said, oh, well, you people, what do you think who you are? Why are you putting yourself up in a better position, in a different position than the people? The people are okay. And Moses fell on his face because he was dealt by God in the backside of the desert. But brother, otherwise he would have killed Korah like those Egyptians. And now I want to quickly take you to the verses which I'm really wanting you to know exactly with the topic that I'm teaching you. In fact, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Now, when he rose up against Moses, come to verse 9. Moses said to him, That verse 8, Moses said to Korah, "Here now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing to you that God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself?" And he's telling, hey, wait a minute now, Korah, you sons of Levi, did not the Lord call you to minister to the people? He called you to himself, and then he wanted you to be his servants. Is that a small thing? I have watched, there are many people in churches, the moment they take some positions, they consider that position as a small thing. Please concentrate on that word. Is it a small thing to you how far you have considered your calling? You may be a Sunday school teacher, you may be a deaconess or a deacon, you may be an elder, you may be somebody who has been kept by the bishop, by the pastor of the church to clean up this place, or you may be in charge of the sound, but is that a small thing? My goodness. As I heard somebody said, I think it was Dear Bodhi, if God sends two angels, one to clean up Soho. They say Soho, Bishop Gray understand what I mean. Soho means it's a dangerous place in London. They say Soho, no go. To clean up that place full of fornication and adultery and all that over there. And the other angel to go and preach in a big pavilion. Both angels will go singing. Hallelujah. Because they are both sent by God, and it is the work of the Lord. Are you hearing me this evening? Huh? Don't go to bed. Are you there? Right. To do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them, and that he has brought you near to himself. Twice it is mentioned. He has brought you near to himself to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord. You and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you. And are you seeking the priesthood also? Are you seeking the priesthood also? See this? When the children of God, any believer in a church, they consider their calling very small. The next step that they will do is they will rise up and then fight the superiors in rebellion. Happens very often. They will take matters into their hands and say, "Well, this is the way it has to be." See? Rebellion is a spirit of witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15:23. The spirit of Korah is the spirit of witchcraft. What happened? To make the story short, you know it when you read it. And the Lord said, "Moses, get away from these people. Separate!" This is what I studied. This is how I learned from the Lord, how he operates. He said, "Moses, out quickly. I want to consume them." And all that they came and stood, all the congregation of Israel separated themselves from them. And Korah and all those men who fought against Moses, they stood in front of the tabernacle, in front of their tents, and the earth that was down under their feet split open. They went live. My. No burial, no prayers, nothing, no tombs on top. Rest in peace. Boom. The spirit of witchcraft took away the call that was upon Korah and all those 250 men. Why? It blinded them. It blinded them. That's why the Holy Spirit spoke through Moses. God spoke to him straight to the face of Korah. Is it a small thing that I called you to minister to the people? And now that you are trying to take Moses' place, why are these things written here? to write exams, to get a diploma, to learn. Consider your call. It is not a small thing. When your bishop gives you something to do, do it with all your heart, because the Holy Spirit watches you. Sometimes I come here in the mornings to pray. I find nobody. I said, okay, Lord, you're watching. Let me be faithful. That's okay. For the day will come with the rewards you will bring. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, have that attitude. The Lord is watching. He is watching. So Korah and all those men did not fulfill their call. They died halfway through. The spirit of witchcraft made them rebel. Rebellion. The third one. 2 Samuel 11, 1 and 2. Are you listening? You want me to stop then? I can't hear any voice. 2 Samuel. Are you faithful in saying no? 2 Samuel 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 1. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David remained at Jerusalem. David remained at Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, the spirit of witchcraft, one of the many ways, and very specifically uses fornication and adultery, the spirit of lust, to make the leaders in positions to fall. Yes, Jezebel is very clever in that. That's why the spirit of witchcraft is attracted towards women. Oh, yes. And that will find its way into the prayer group. It'll find its way into even the leadership. It'll find its way coming closer to the leader, the pastor. Oh, you know what? I had a vision. David fell. He was a man anointed to battle. He was a man, he said in Psalm 18, turn with me please, if you will. Psalm 18, verse 34. Have you taken that? Verse 34. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow to bronze. David was anointed with an anointing to war. He was a man of war. And David, blinded by the spirit of deception, witchcraft, and he stayed away when kings were fighting at that time. Soldier of Jesus Christ, brother and sister, listen to me. If you are keeping yourself, not engaging yourself in the prayer meetings, as one of the prayer warriors, if you're not engaging yourself in the spiritual warfare that's going on in the church, joining with your leader, joining with your other prayer partners, it is a dangerous road. Just like David, when he was anointed for that ministry, he stayed away and caught by the spirit of lust. That spirit of witchcraft just took him away, his position as king. You know what happened afterwards for David and his family? the consequences and everything when he fell with Bathsheba. When you are anointed for something, you should move in that anointing. When you are anointed for something, you should be busy preparing yourself, giving your whole life for that. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Timothy, give yourself totally to those things which have been prophesied over your life. Meditate on them. It is so important. And David took it lightly. He thought that, well, maybe I will stay this time. Well, I was just tired. I don't need to go. Well, what? Well, maybe next fasting and prayers I will go. It's okay, there will be somebody. You know, the enemy waits. You miss one prayer meeting without a proper reason, you are defeated. The next time is going to be harder. And so David lost his position at that time. And he had to leave. And he was being chastened by God. And 1 Samuel 17:4. I think that the last one. Yeah. I'm through. 1 Samuel 17:4. You know that man, Goliath. And he was the captain of the Philistines. And he came day after day cursing the army of God, cursing the soldiers in Israel. And these people, they got so frightened and they would not say anything for him. And there was so much of mentioned about Goliath, about his armor, his shield and his sword and all that, the weights of it. For Samuel 17 verse 4. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and span. Probably was about 12 to 13 feet high. Verse 10 and 11. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words, it words again. You all please look at me. When Elijah heard the words of Jezebel, the spirit of witchcraft attacked with fear and he ran. Saul, King Saul, and the soldiers, the army of Israel, heard the words of Goliath. See what happens. When they heard, Saul and Israel heard these words, the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid, not slightly. Greatly afraid. The spirit of witchcraft induces fear. Are you listening? They were caught up, bound by fear. The spirit of witchcraft uses the spirit of fear. The spirit of witchcraft uses the spirit of lust and adultery, just as it used for David. For Korah, it was rebellion. But the root problem is witchcraft. So they were greatly afraid. Verse 21. Now David left his supplies in the hand of the supply of the keeper, ran to the army and came to greet his brothers. I'm just cutting over, right? And they talked with him, and there was a champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines and spoke according to the same words. Same words. You know, the devil speaks of the same words. What he spoke through Goliath, the same words. Ha, 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 ha. Who is able to come? Who is able to fight with me? If anybody wins, fights and defeats me, Philistines and I myself will be your servants. Otherwise, it's vice versa. And they got so afraid. Verse 24, and all these men, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. God's people. And you say,
is this?
That is the spirit of witchcraft. Releases fear. Nobody was willing to die. No. It induces fear. The spirit of witchcraft induces fear even for leaders, pastors, overseers. They will not approach. No. An unknown fear comes. They are unable to take their leadership position. They are unable to say a word. Come on. No. No. This spirit works behind them, binding them. Now, verse 28. Have you taken? 17:28. Now Eliab, now the brother of David, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, that is David. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? Now, the elder brother is asking the younger brother, David, now, why did you come here? Now, watch this. And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? That's none of his business anyway. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. Say after me, you have come down to see the battle. Now, I am asking you, what is the battle? Was there a battle? David couldn't see anything. David could see only one thing. They were all in fear. Now, the Lord showed me, most of the time, in many churches, this is what is happening. They are studying about Goliath. Oh, we're going to study about the weight of his sword. Okay, write down some notes. 3 cassettes on sword, 4 cassettes on the shield. And how to break the shield, 7 cassettes. And 10 steps to fight fear of Goliath. And God says with one word, I have not given you a spirit of fear. These people were so blinded. All what they did was they got up early morning. Watch me. They wore their clothes. They took up all their arms, their swords, their shield, and they came and they waited along a valley and watched like this with their both eyeballs coming out. There he comes. Here we go again. Oh my. Look at him. Doesn't he get tired? I beg your pardon. For a whole month, you were right. Thanks for helping me. Nearly about 40 days, isn't it? That's right. And they were so caught up in fear, bound by fear. And they thought that they had a battle. People think today in churches, they come on Sunday and go back home, and then come another Sunday, they go back home, and they think, oh well, I'm a spiritual tongue talking spirit-filled Christian. I am. You will run when the thinnest, smallest demon shows up. We were battling over here, some of those people in the morning, they were oh mama. Come over to battle and see. Right? Cast out what devil and see. Paul and Silas had to pay the price. They found their home inside prison. And they had ministry over their brother with the jailer. Otherwise they would have had to get permission to go inside the jail. And then minister to the jailer. Hey, believe in Jesus. No. God had certain other plans. Let me say, the spirit of witchcraft blinds people, blinds the soldiers of God to think that they are really engaged in a warfare. You don't know what warfare is. You only know to study about warfare. You Eliabs.
You wore your clothes every morning after morning and went and just sat a far distance from Goliath and ate your lunch parcel brought in by your family, brothers or sisters, like David brought the lunch parcel to them. Ate that and then just watching him. Goliath, oh, how beautiful you are. And this man asked, I know why you have come. You want to see the battle, isn't it, David? David was so humble, you know. If it was myself, I would just have to ask him, what is the battle here? You cowards. There's no battle. In fact, I would have gone to that place myself because I would have been caught by that fear. Sure. Because unless you're strong in the word and with the anointing of God, you cannot face the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. The spirit of witchcraft blinds anybody who are careless. You think that you are in the spiritual stature. You think that you are doing well. You think that you are engaged in a spiritual warfare. You think that you are really in a prayer warfare. You just simply, you are just coming and going back to church. That's all. You hardly open your Bible and you meditate and you really have a warfare at home. Most of the time our warfare is in the flesh. Fighting and quarreling. One after the other. And so, this spirit does all these things. So we need to fight against it. That's why in the book of Joel chapter 3 verse 9 says, wake up the mighty men of war. Why wake up? Hallelujah. Joel chapter 3 verse 9. Jeremy, could you please come over? 3:9. Proclaim in the palaces at Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt and say, assemble on the mountains of Samaria. Oh, what am I reading here? I beg your pardon. You have taken? Joel has gone and hidden. Yeah. 3:9. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all men of war. Look at here. If the men of war are sober and vigilant and they are ready, why should God say, wake up? Wake up. Wake up! Because the soldiers are sleeping. Sleeping. You know, most of the time, the churches, the believers, they think that we know. For them, there is no war. There is no war. When is the last time a demonic spirit, a real, you knew it in your heart, came right to your face. And you knew it. You just... And we are not so in that spiritual position to know and to discern who is speaking to me. Whose voice is that? So let us be alarmed. Let us be sober. Let us meditate upon the word of God. Let us put the spirit of witchcraft in flight underneath our feet by the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the blood of the Lamb and the word of God. And the Lord is on our side. And the Lord wants us to fulfill our purpose and the plan. And the Lord wants us to fulfill our ministry. Make your calling and election sure. This one spirit, let me say, starting from me, it'll fight day and night to keep us away from fulfilling our call. Yeah. And that will affect eternity and time. Will I go to heaven? Yes. But will it affect my eternity? Yes. What we do for Jesus here will be carried on to the next stage.